Today is Tuesday, September 22nd. We'll tell you about Justice Ginsburg making history even after her death, and about the frontrunner to fill her seat if President Trump gets his way. Also, the CDC says it made a mistake. We'll explain. And we've got an update about Tropical Storm Beta as it made landfall overnight. Plus, what National Voter Registration Day means, what cruise lines are now planning, and what company Microsoft acquired in its largest ever gaming purchase. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. The late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is making history even after her death. This week, she will become the first woman to lie in repose at the U.S. Supreme Court and then the first woman to lie in state at the U.S. Capitol. Her casket will spend 2 days in the High Court and 1 day in the Capitol, starting with a Supreme Court ceremony tomorrow morning. This is a pretty big deal, even for someone as powerful as a Supreme Court justice. In the past, most people who have lain in state were presidents, prominent members of Congress, and military leaders. The only other Supreme Court justice to lie in state was William Howard Taft, who served as Chief Justice after his term as president. Next week, a private burial service will be held at Arlington National Cemetery. But before then, President Trump is expected to announce his pick to replace Ginsburg on the bench, and that could happen this Friday or Saturday. It seems he already has a clear frontrunner in mind, too. Several news outlets like Fox News and Reuters reported he met with Chicago-based federal appeals court judge Amy Coney Barrett. She's known as an anti-abortion advocate who survived a tough confirmation in 2017 when Trump nominated her to the job she has now. Bloomberg reports President Trump believes Barrett will not be wobbly on major issues for conservatives like gun rights and health care. Still, it's not clear yet if Senate Republicans will actually have time to confirm the new nominee before Election Day on November 3rd. It can be a long process. The Congressional Research Service says since 1975, it has taken an average of 67 days from nomination to final Senate vote to get a Supreme Court nominee confirmed. And the November election is now 41 days away. But if Republicans are able to act now to confirm a new justice, they would effectively establish a 6-3 conservative majority on the court. And that means a lot, since the court's decisions impact everything from health care to voting access to presidential powers and more. Most Republicans are saying they want to move forward quickly, while most Democrats say they're prepared to fight to push a confirmation vote to 2021. To be continued. The Justice Department is singling out three American cities, calling them anarchist jurisdictions. They are New York City, Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. The Justice Department says they have all allowed violence and vandalism to go on during the last few months of protests and riots over racial injustice. And now they could lose federal funding over it. Attorney General William Barr released a statement saying we shouldn't waste federal tax dollars when people's safety is at risk. But the mayors of all three cities put out a joint statement in response. They criticized the move as a political stunt and said President Trump was pushing for this to distract from the pandemic and financial crisis. Seattle's mayor went a step further, saying the threat to withhold funding is a, quote, gross misuse of federal power. But Attorney General Barr says it's just an effort to convince the mayors to take tougher action against unruly protests. He wants more protesters prosecuted and New York City to restore full funding to law enforcement since the police budget was scaled back earlier this summer. Fox News points out it's not clear how much federal funding could be taken away or if it would be legal. So it'll likely be challenged in court. The CDC once again walked back some of its COVID-19 guidance. This time, it's about how easily the virus can spread from person to person in the air. Things first changed on the CDC website back on Friday. It was updated with a post suggesting the agency believes the virus can hang in the air and that droplets can travel further than 6 feet. Of course, that would be a big deal and change the current thinking. But yesterday, the CDC said it was all a big mistake and the new guidance was posted in error. So it was replaced with the previous advice. It says the virus is spread primarily between people in close contact with one another or within 6 feet from each other for longer than 15 minutes. Experts told the New York Times it appears this latest reversal was a genuine mistake in the agency's scientific review process, not the result of political meddling. Still, critics argue it hurts Americans' confidence in the CDC at a critical time, especially since the agency has already faced other backlash for posting conflicting messages about testing recently and masks early on. As for the science behind the airborne spread, the jury is still out. Tropical Storm Beta made landfall in Texas overnight, and with that, the Houston and Galveston areas are already dealing with some serious flooding. Nearly 11 million people are now under flash flood watches that cover all of the Texas and Louisiana coasts. When the storm first hit, Beta brought 3 to 4 feet of storm surge to the Galveston area. Houston's fire chief tweeted early this morning that his department had already completed 20 rescues from flooded vehicles, so he's reminding people not to try to drive through flooded streets. Thankfully, the storm is expected to weaken today, but it's another slow-moving storm, so it will stay over southeastern Texas for most of the day today. Eventually, it will bring rain to Arkansas and Louisiana later in the week, but by that point, the storm is not expected to be life-threatening. All right, we have more news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor today, Rothy's. Rothy's shoes are incredibly comfortable with zero, and I repeat, zero break-in period, thanks to their seamlessly knit-to-shape design. In other words, wear them right out of the box, and you'll feel the comfort from day one. Plus, with so many chic styles to choose from, you'll find the perfect Rothy's shoes for you. And another major bonus, Rothy's are fully machine washable. Every time they need a refresh, you can simply toss them in the washing machine. And I love that Rothy's owns and operates their manufacturing workshop, where they prioritize sustainability and quality every step of the way. I have a pair of Rothy's flats that I'll throw on with jeans to walk around the block or go to the grocery store, making me feel much more put together than I would otherwise and still be comfortable, but I can also easily dress them up. And by the way, you can't go wrong because Rothy's offers free shipping and free returns. So check out all the amazing shoes and bags available right now at rothys.com/newsworthy. That's Rothys, R-O-T-H-Y-S, rothys.com/newsworthy, where style and sustainability meet to create your new favorites. All right, now back to the news. Don't be one of the millions of Americans who realize they can't vote because they missed their state's voter registration deadline. If you want to vote, you must register, and that's the message of National Voter Registration Day today. It's always on the fourth Tuesday of September. It's meant to be a nonpartisan civic holiday celebrating our democracy and raising awareness about voter registration. There are all kinds of events taking place today. You can learn more, find what's happening in your area or online, and, of course, register to vote at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We've posted a link in our episode notes as well. Cruise lines are one step closer to sailing again. Remember, most ships have been docked in the U.S. since the start of the pandemic in March. But now there's a new plan to get them back in service. The cruising industry's leading trade organization and its members announced new requirements that major cruise lines like Royal Caribbean and Carnival will have to follow. Probably the biggest rule is all passengers and crew will have to get tested for COVID-19 before they set sail. Plus, they'll have to wear masks on ships when physical distancing is not possible. Cruise lines also have to improve ventilation to get more fresh air flowing, and they need to put in enhanced filters whenever possible. Despite the new guidelines, there's no specific restart date for the cruise lines. Most of the major ones have vowed not to sail until at least November. After that, it's possible they could roll out a phased restart to cruising by the end of the year. Microsoft may be out of the running to buy TikTok, but it's now switched gears and is prepared to make another huge purchase. It plans to buy ZeniMax Media, the company behind popular video games like The Elder Scrolls, Doom, and Fallout. The software giant is paying $7.5 billion for the company in what The Verge reports is a cash deal. This will give Microsoft even more control over the gaming industry. Remember, Microsoft is already the maker of the popular gaming console, Xbox. The company will use this new acquisition to beef up its Xbox Game Pass subscription. The AP says the deal will likely close next year. More than 200 new emoji are set to hit cell phones next year. The newest additions include a heart with a bandage around it, a heart on fire, and an emoji face with spiral eyes. As The Verge puts it, those spiral eyes could be the perfect way to sum up the dizzying reality of 2020. Emoji are also getting more inclusive next year, too. For example, there will be a gender-neutral emoji with a beard. Also, the couples emoji are getting overhauled to make it easier to show interracial relationships. CNN reports starting next year, you'll be able to pick the skin tone of each person for the kiss emoji and the couple with heart emoji. It's official, summer is behind us, and today is the official first day of fall. So we are going to start seeing our days get shorter and, of course, our temperatures cooler. As the Washington Post explains it, the start of fall, or autumn, is usually the halfway point between our longest and shortest days of the year. So on average this month, each day will have roughly 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark, unless you're near the North or South Pole. The days will then continue to get shorter over the next 3 months, until we hit winter solstice in December, which marks the shortest day of the year. In the meantime, enjoy the fall colors, football season, and of course, all things pumpkin flavored. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, where we ask a different trivia question every week. And today's trivia question is, which country consumes the most chocolate per capita? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram stories, so find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. As for last week's trivia question, what was the world's first national park? The answer is Yellowstone National Park, which is mostly in Wyoming. It became a national park on March 1, 1872, when President Ulysses S. Grant signed the Yellowstone National Park Protection Act into law. In the years since, the U.S. has designated more than 60 national parks. They span from the far reaches of Alaska to the waters of the Florida Keys. And to visit them all, you'd need to go to 29 states and two U.S. territories. Shout out to Amanda, John, Melanie, Grace, and everyone who played along on Instagram. All right, thanks so much for making the Newsworthy part of your daily routine. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.